Hello and welcome to Stuff About Energy Production. This is a special episode. You may have noticed the title change. We'll get into that and a lot more, including a countdown of our top five episodes. Listener, we're so thankful that you've been along with us. Maybe this is your first episode. Maybe this is your 100th. Hi, Mom. But we're so thankful that you're here with us. My name is Curtis, and I'm with Kyle Andrews, who is our sales training manager.
Yes.
With Kim Ray. You've changed titles about four times since we started this.
I know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
When do we start recording?
You got demoted like seven times since we started this
deal. I keep going down and down.
And then Denny Vandenberg. There's an older podcast called Hardcore History with Dan Carlin, and he always talks about his producer as Ben, who may or may not exist because Ben is never heard from or seen, you know. So, Denny, you've definitely been on some episodes, and you definitely exist.
Only a few.
Senior marketing producer Denny Vandenberg does the podcast, does all of our YouTube videos, and is responsible for so much of the good content that Kim Ray has been able to produce over the last five, six, seven, 8 years. Fellas, 100 episode. How does that land with you? What does that mean to you? What are your heartfelt thoughts?
For me, it's crazy that we've recorded that many.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
You know, a lot of times you're just coming in, you're recording, and then you move on to whatever else you're doing that day. It kind of snuck up on me a little bit, number 100. You know, at number like 20, you're thinking like, okay, this thing is kind of sticking around.
They're still wanting to do this.
They're still wanting to do this. You know, you're not sure if it's going to continue. But yeah, number 100. That's crazy.
It's an important milestone. So we're excited. We've been doing it 3 years. We're going to catch up on what we've been doing. We're going to reflect just a little bit on doing the show, and then count down our top five most listened to episodes, and then talk a little bit about where the podcast is headed for the next season. So just by way of catch up recently, Kyle, you just had baby number
seven.
All right. Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. Recently got back from paternity leave. I moved as well just before the baby came.
Yeah.
So new house, new baby.
Everything new title.
Yeah. New title.
Congratulations.
New me. Yeah.
Okay. Good. And Denny, you just got back from Branson a couple weeks ago.
It's probably been even longer than that
a
now.
A month ago.
Time is
we haven't talked
confusing
forever.
Enough.
I know.
Like we said, 100 episodes in, you lose track of 3 years. I think everyone would agree. So
yep.
Even if you say just got back, it's probably been a month by now.
Okay. I told my father-in-law about the Top of the Rock golf cart mm-hmm. ride. A little mm-hmm. pricey, but worth it.
Super pretty beautiful.
Views.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound like much to pay for a self-guided golf cart tour. Down a mountain, but it's just beautifully done. Out in the Ozarks, weather is gorgeous, the mountain, the trees, and you just work your way down this beautiful path and go in and out of a cave and waterfalls and bridges. You just stop along the way, there's little parking spots, take pictures and take your time.
I want to give a shout out to some folks at our Pennsylvania store. I got to go up there 2 weeks ago and visited with, from Larry Rollette, Skip. Chris, unfortunately, wasn't there, but Chris and the guys in the repair shop, Andrew and David and Brian, and got to ride around with Scott. Man, we had just a terrific time, and those guys are pros and really showed us a lot about the Pennsylvania area, which is pretty distinct. They do a lot of high-pressure gas up there, which is different than production kind of around our Oklahoma City, Texas area, and even different from kind of the Rocky Mountain area as well. So, man, appreciate you guys. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for how hard you're working up there and for teaching me and Jeff Port all that you could over a couple day period. Really enjoyed it. So 2020 is when we started this podcast. We were in our homes, locked down at the time, and kind of like a lot of other people, it was like, hey, I guess we should start a podcast because we can't do anything else.
Yeah, what do we do?
So I think, Kyle, we were like in our closets recording.
Yeah.
Because we were like, okay, this sounds best in here in terms of my house.
I mean, it almost sounded, probably sounded just as good or maybe even a little bit better than the studio that we're in right now, because the you know, just being surrounded by all these clothes really dampened the sound, and it was far enough away from my kids where you couldn't hear them screaming in the background. So it worked out.
Anything, Denny, since we've been doing this that has surprised you or that you didn't expect getting into recording these?
I loved that we tried doing the video version of it for a little while. I feel like a lot of people watch video podcasts. It's nice to see who you're listening to.
That's true.
It didn't really hit with our audience. I would love to try it again. Yeah. I think most people just get freaked out. I think it worked when it was just the two of you. When you bring on somebody else who's not used to being on camera.
That is true. I was going to
say. And it's no longer just talking. You're suddenly performing.
Yeah. And messes with the guests that we have.
Yeah. But maybe we should dabble in it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Something that has surprised me is, you know, when we're recording these things, you know, I know you guys pretty well. We have a good time recording it. Our conversations before we hit the record button are always fun. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we include little blurbs of that in the podcast. But kind of just doing it in this bubble, you don't realize how many people are listening. You know, I don't ever really think about that. Like, oh, this is going to reach X amount of people or this many people are listening. I just come here, we talk about some stuff, and then I go on about my day. Yeah. That's kind of, you know, it's always surprising when you guys share the numbers with me of all the people listening.
The guys in Pennsylvania were like, yeah, somebody came in the other day and were like, oh, yeah, listen to you guys' podcast. And they're like, oh, we have a podcast. So it's definitely people are listening, but not always who you think, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we're going to talk about next, which is our top five most listened to episodes. So these are a little bit surprising maybe, but the first couple aren't to me. So we had some terrific guests on, and number five, most listened to episode of the old title, so Stuff You Should Know About Oil and Gas Production, was episode 79, Why Now is a Great Time to Work in Oil and Gas, with Molly Detterman. And she is with Energy Technology Workforce Council. Fantastic guest. Do you remember this episode, Kyle?
I do, yeah.
What was your recollection of the interview with Molly?
I remember her talking about her and her group just doing trainings with people, trying to educate people on oil and gas and, you know, why we're not the bad guys.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, there's a, I think, a view of oil and gas companies and workers of kind of like a, you know, a stereotype more or less. Mm-hmm. And her just, you know, through education, changing that narrative about oil and gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Some misconceptions. She talked about recruitment and what it means for companies to explain the benefits and kind of how to adapt to new labor market conditions. And then also, if you're looking to get into oil and gas and energy production, what to look for and how to kind of take those first steps and what to be open to. And so really cool episode, and she and ETWC do a great job supplying resources to the industry. And so we're going to share a clip, I think, from towards later in the episode when she talks about just kind of how important energy is and how much, you know, we want developing nations to have energy and just how to tell that story of energy better than is sometimes cast in certain media situations. We've touched on this a little bit, but the last few years have shown us that the world needs oil and gas, right? Like, and demand from the things I've read recently actually is projected to grow over the next 10, 20 years even, which is, it's kind of against the narrative you hear a lot in a lot of places. Are you hearing that as well, Molly? Can you confirm?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, the demand is forecast to grow, and it depends on where you're looking at in the world. But it's in the developing nations where there's a lot of the population and where the growth is. And as they get, you know, we want them to have access to energy. They want access to energy. And oil and gas, the fossil fuels that are, it's like what we're 80% of the energy mix. That is what it is forecast to be for the, you know, foreseeable future. It's not like you can just like all of a sudden flip a switch and change over to renewables. And we saw what happened in Germany when they attempted to do that. They are in the midst of a crisis right now. And so you've got to, and I think that it has set the stage, and unfortunately for, you know, the people in Europe this winter, it has set the stage for more reasonable energy dialogue. And so we have really got to capitalize on that in this moment to enter that conversation and talk about how oil and gas is part of the mix, and but also how it can help lead us to a lower carbon future, because that is the piece that people don't understand.
All right, the fourth most listened to episode is episode 75, Walking Through a Working Oil Field with Production Superintendent Joby Toho. This was a kind of an experimental episode, Kyle.
It was. It was the first time we had recorded on a remote location. It was a cool experience and something that I think I'd like to do again.
You were talking earlier about how it's just kind of us talking and sometimes a guest just kind of talking through what we're going through and what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And as you go about your working life, like those are some of the most important conversations, and you're like, oh man, I need to do that more. That's why we go to different areas and different stores and different locations, is to just have these simple conversations with people. And so this is a conversation with someone that would happen and happens every day, every hour in the energy industry. But bringing a microphone there allows other people to listen in on that and hear, oh, okay, well, I may not be able to get to the field all the time or this particular area all the time, but to hear what a production superintendent thinks about is super helpful for people, whether they're on the engineering side and don't get to get out to the field a ton, or they're thinking about getting into the industry and like, what's it like to work out there? And Joby did a great job just explaining very simply what he does and what it's like and how he got into the industry, and what someone might be skilled at, or someone who might be interested, how they might go about getting into it.
I thought of when you were explaining Toby, you know, walking us through that, I thought of what Denny said a little bit earlier about guests coming on and being recorded with video as well as audio, and it made them a little bit uncomfortable. And I thought it was really cool going out to the field with Joby and catching him in, you know, his natural habitat, so to speak. Because those conversations were so much more natural. And I think we talked about things out in the field that we wouldn't have talked about if we brought him into the studio and recorded that same exact episode.
So, Denny, that was our first on-site recording from a technical production side. Tell me about that experience.
Being out there, we definitely had to do a little differently. So I remember he was mic'd up and we're on site, so I could barely hear anything else that was going on. But I had his microphone on, so I could hear him, but I couldn't hear anybody else. So I could hear when he's talking, but I'm farther away. Yeah. And then I don't know what's happening while it's all quiet. I can't hear anything. And then all of a sudden I can hear him talking again. So I only heard half the conversation while I was out there. And then we had to bring Caleb with us to hold a windscreen in front of him because we're out in the middle of the field. Yeah. Trying to block some of this wind and trying to have him turn certain directions so he's not facing the wind, and then trying to block it. And
did either Curtis or I have our phones recording so you could hear the questions that we were asking him?
Yes.
Since you were only able to hear.
Yes, you
Joby.
Brought yours because we only had the one lavalier mic. And so you brought your phone and you were recording so they could hear it later on. And then we kind of tried to piece that together.
Yeah.
The production side of it was fun, though, getting to kind of build up a little bit of a scenario, some sound effects, a little bit more storytelling. You got to write that intro to kind of set the stage and make a whole vibe for the episode, which was fun to put together.
Yeah, it was fun. I think we're going to talk about maybe doing some more of those. It was a pretty fun episode.
Joby now begins to walk us through all that's going on this location. We start at the well. He says it's important to watch the tubing and casing pressure gauges.
This is your wellhead. You've got tubing and casing gauges that read kind of what's going on. And honestly, when it comes to troubleshooting, these might be some of the most basic, but yet you know, just meat and potatoes of knowledge to look at is what your tubing and casing pressures are. They can tell you a lot, especially into nowadays where you can trend them, you know, just troubleshooting in the morning. You know, if we're losing production, we'll start looking at tubing and casing pressures. And, you know, if your tubing pressure is coming up, then you can start looking for some kind of obstruction in your choke or your flow line, or maybe just even line pressures up, you know. So these are real good basic tools just to keep an eye on and watch, you know, every day. But, you know, as you're getting your product out of the ground, it's all mixed together here. You're getting your oil, your gas, and the water, and then you go down the line to what people would, you know, different terminology in the oil field, your primary separator, your primary scrubber. You know, we just run simple two-phase separators. Two-phase meaning you're just separating two things. You're separating your gas and you're separating your liquids from there.
All right, so the third most listened to episode was episode number 80, what are the four types of oil and gas reservoirs? This is a piece of content that also traffics really highly on our website. And so, Kyle, you would just walk through basically four kind of broad types of oil and gas reservoirs, yep. Especially kind of we focused on the domestic side of production. And we're going to share a clip from towards the end of that episode as we get into what are NGLs, because that's a really important question that is confusing for some people.
Yeah, and I think the original piece of content may have, it was either a blog or maybe a video. I think the blog came out first, but then we did a video version of that. Mm. And I think the timing of that hit really well. And the reason why, you know, this piece of content has done well is because there was something going on, you know, in our industry or politically around basically, you know, what is oil and gas? There are a lot of questions being asked. And we had just made this. And so it was a fresh piece of content, and it got a ton of traffic of people outside of our industry just wanting to know more. Mm-hmm. And so the timing really worked out on that.
Yeah, getting back to our conversation with Molly, she's a big proponent of companies just telling this story and talking about, you know, educating the general public on what it is, where does energy come from? You know, are there challenges with it? Are there, you know, things we could do better, sure, but like it's vital, it's important. So I think that education piece is something we're pretty passionate about, and hopefully doing an okay job at. Yeah, so let's hear a bit from that episode.
Yeah, the last thing I want to touch on is NGLs, natural gas liquids, fall out of specifically, I think, these gas condensate reservoir systems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So like that, you know, how they categorize, you know, what type of reservoir it is would be, you know, is it mostly dry gas or is it mostly condensate or mostly oil? And so the condensate that's produced out of these gas condensate wells is a very valuable resource. It's not like water that you dispose of after it's produced. It's, you know, a gallon of condensate is worth much more than a gallon of oil, even. So it's a very, think of it as like a very concentrated gas liquid. So very potent, I guess you could say. But you can use that for a lot. It's very valuable resources. We think about processes like pigging a gas line. It's not only done for safety reasons, but also to recover those NGLs because they are a valuable resource.
And producers would refine these down to be what at the end of the day?
Different elements. Like, I mean, it could be refining it down, you know, for like propane, butane.
I was thinking of
so
propane.
All those hydrocarbons
that
you can take a gas and condense it down through different processes into those natural gas liquids. That's happening just in the pipeline naturally. So they're basically a process that's going to take place downstream is just happening a little early, and they can just capture those. And
okay.
All right. The second most listened to episode was episode number 3. Why is valve CV so important? So this one sticks out to me for a few reasons. Kyle, this was way back episode number 3, probably June of 2020. And if you listen closely, there's you can hear your kids, even though you're in the closet. You can hear your kids a little bit here and there. And then I have had a nasal surgery, actually, since this episode. And
you sound great, by the way.
I think I sound better. I hope I sound better. But you can hear me breathing like Darth Vader because I was so stuffed up. And
sorry, I couldn't edit that more. That was before we had multi-track recording, so everyone was on the same track, and I couldn't do anything about it.
It was early days, no problem. But if you want to listen for those Easter eggs, please do. We're going to play a clip. This is such an important topic, especially just in valve sizing in general. Valve sizing is vital to healthy production. And overlooked because, well, Kai, you can get into it if you want, just because production conditions are not steady. Like, right. They change over time.
Ever changing.
So,
yeah.
So it's important to know the CV that you need initially upon initial production.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, even, we could get into valve sizing, but sizing your valve not only for initial production, but, what it's going to change to, and then having to resize it again as, conditions change. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you could need a new trim size 2 weeks after you put one in. Production could change that quick where now that size of trim is not the correct size that you need to control well. And so it's especially in the early stages of a well and production, and there's going to be large fluctuations in flow rate and conditions.
Okay, we're going to play a clip now from about the middle of this episode where Kyle's talking about how you can change your trim and the importance of knowing your CV so that you get the right trim in your high-pressure control valves as production changes.
You have to be willing to, your valve has to be flexible too. And so if, initially you size a valve for a certain flow rate, and then over time that flow rate drops off, or maybe you're adding wells on and so their flow rate increases. Either way, you have to be able to adjust your valves, and it's not always going to, one trim size is not always going to fit every application. And so you have to be able to resize the valve with your new conditions and make sure that the valve you have is still the correct valve, or you may need to increase or decrease the trim size.
How often does that happen? Do people have to change out?
Well, the need for people to have to change out their trim happens often. A lot of the times, though, people just keep the existing trim in there and kind of deal with the problems that causes. It's really not the most efficient way to do it. Really changing your trim size and making sure that you have the correct size trim is pretty critical, especially in gas regulation. It's not so critical in a liquid dump valve application. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're using a high pressure control valve as a liquid dump valve, if your valve is oversized, it's not as big of a deal. You may get some hammering or some chatter, but if you're oversized in gas regulation or undersized in gas regulation, it's not going to be
good.
Pressure
buildup.
Right. I mean, the pressure is going to build. Valve's going to try to make an adjustment. It's going to make too much of an adjustment when it opens because it's too large. Then it's going to slam back shut, and you're not going to have a steady set point or pressure that you're trying to control. It's going to be all over the place.
All right. We've arrived at number one, the most listened to episode of Stuff You Should Know About Oil and Gas Production is the first episode, obviously.
Number one's number
this
one.
This surprised you, Kyle.
Yeah.
What is a control valve's fail position? Why did it surprise you?
I think for me it's just, obviously the first episode, we're just getting this thing started.
Mm.
You look at the first of anything you do, and it's not always the best.
First pancake?
Right.
Always the worst, right?
Yeah.
Why is your first pancake not working up? for you, Curtis?
Yeah, tell us about
that. Doesn't happen to you guys? I mean, it's not every time. It's like, oh, okay, I need to turn
the pan's still heating
up.
Yeah,
I didn't let it heat up.
That is true. Because you get like it's not smooth. It's like that weird bubbly.
Doesn't your batter have to sit for a while, too?
Or the batter.
Are you letting your batter rest?
Did I not know? I mean,
ooh, that's
depends
a good
on
point.
How late I wake up. But like, typical Saturday, I make pancakes. And if it's not,
do you cook your,
up, and they're like,
do you wake up early, put your bacon on the griddle, and then go back to sleep and wake up to the smell of bacon? No?
You do that?
Burn your foot.
Is that when he stepped on the griddle? That's funny.
The first video I did, not the best. Mm. Like, you know, but you can't have your 100th episode without your first.
I assume it's just people happen upon the episode or upon the podcast itself, and they're like, oh, well, let me go back and listen to the first one, just kind of see what they're about.
Yeah. Don't judge us by the first
please
one.
Please don't do that. Just listen to the latest one or one that catches your interest.
Right.
We're still trying to figure this out. We've just been sent home, and we have to, be at home for a while. So we're like trying to figure out how this podcasting thing works. But maybe it's helpful for you. So hopefully you are learning from this episode about what is a control valve's fail position. We'll play a short clip from that episode here.
Our low pressure control valves also have a failure position.
Okay. All right. So what's the difference between fail closed and fail open?
So fail closed would be if you have no motive gas going to the actuator.
Wait, what is motive gas?
So motive gas or anything energizing the actuator. So whether you have a pneumatic actuator or even an electric actuator, it's the thing driving the actuator to a position.
I see.
So if you take that away, the fail position is going to be the position that the valve ends up in. So with a fail open valve, if you take away the pneumatic signal going to that actuator is going to fail open. Right. So the pneumatic signal going to the actuator closes the valve. Without that signal, it fails open.
Okay, so every valve, is it either fail open or closed, these control valves?
Yes, so you can get those control valves in. You can order them fail open or fail closed. They're also convertible. Especially our high pressure control valves are field convertible. Okay. They're easy to switch from fail open to fail closed.
I think we made a video about that once.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so this is also, there's some language that I've come across, like pressure open, pressure closed. Is that same thing?
So same thing, just a different way of saying it.
Okay.
So fail open is the same thing as pressure closed. So Curtis mentioned it at the beginning of this episode, but our new name is Stuff About Energy Production. We're going to have a new logo. We're going to have new merch available. We're going to incorporate the new podcast name into some of our videos, or we'll be wearing the merch during the video, gets more exposure. But Curtis, what can our listeners expect from season 5 in this rebrand?
Yeah, I just want to say before I answer that, Caleb has been doing a lot of hard work on the rebrand, and we're also going to have some presence at some trade shows, and so be on the lookout for that. So season 5, we're going to take a short break and then come back with season 5, and we're going to do more guests. We're going to try and broaden our perspective a little bit and get some guests from some different areas of the industry and maybe even some adjacent industries. We've got an upcoming one with Dr. Chuck Bacall, who's he founded the engineering program at Oklahoma Baptist University. We're going to do some live recordings at events like ATAPEC and Oklahoma Oil and Gas Show. And we're going to try to get out to the field more, get outside, get our hands dirty, and do some more episodes about energy production. If you have any ideas for a podcast, man, we would love to get some emails from you. podcast@kimray.com, podcast@kimray.com. Even if you want to join us for an episode, shoot us an email.
Or even if you just want to tell us how good we're doing, or how bad.
Or how bad. Yeah. Please
feedback.
Do. Yep. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Stuff About Energy Production.